A few weeks ago, it must be actually probably a few months ago now, which was I did a talk on Zoom showing a couple of paintings that I did. I revealed that I was a secret painter because not many people knew that, but I did that in my spare time. And because at the beginning of this, or last year, I should say, when we had the pandemic, a lot of things have happened over the last 18 months, and people have had been struggling with anxiety, depression, all those sort of things. And I wanted to paint some pictures. I really believe God was telling me to paint pictures that gave people an inspirational message from him through the paintings and through scripture. So I put these things on Facebook, and I got quite a bit of response from it, which is really good. And they were called the Light of Healing and the Light of Peace. And today I'm going to show you not one, not two, but three more paintings. But I just want to say, first of all, that quite honestly, it's not really about the paintings. The paintings are a vehicle, if you like. It's about the scripture, which I'm going to show. And I'm going to show a lot of scripture today, just little chunks of it. But that's what it is. It's showing the scripture from God. So let's start. Jesus is the light of the world. First painting is the light of hope. Everybody's fed up with the word COVID, pandemic and lockdown. People have been suffering, fear of COVID, fear of the future, fear of dying even, not much hope. This painting, it shows a sky full of clouds. Not a lot of hope for good weather really, is it? Show a bit bigger there. More chance of thunderstorms, torrential rain. But you can see the sun just peeking out below the clouds. There's a little sliver. And as the saying goes, every cloud has a silver lining. And we really want to believe that good things happen and tough times do not last forever. Behind every cloud, the sun is still shining there. You may not be able to see it, but we know that the sun is still there. It's obscured by clouds. But there's always hope. So what is hope? I hope this will happen. I hope this won't happen. I hope you get that job. I hope the kids don't play up today. Anybody recognize that one? I hope I'll be in the lottery. You've got to do it first, I suppose, don't you? It sounds, though, like a lot of wishful thinking. What does the Bible tell us about hope? Jeremiah 29, verse 11, tells us that God knows the plans he has for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. And that is a great promising start, really. Hebrews 10, verse 23 tells us to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he is who is promised is faithful. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Let's be honest, it can be very hard to hold on to hope sometimes, can't it? Even though we're told to in scripture, hope can sometimes just be hope. What we need is something a bit more concrete than that, and what we need is a promise. It's my second painting, The Light of Promise. Okay, what's a promise? It's not a suggestion that something might possibly happen. It's an assurance that something should definitely happen. It needs to be treated as an expectation. I promised to pay the bearer the on-demand the sum of £10. And that's what the Bank of England promises on their notes. We know if we use a £10 note, we're going to get £10 worth of goods. A beautiful sunset like this is a promise of things to come. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. I know that's probably more orange, but that's what they say. Captain Sir Tom Moore put it that tomorrow will be a good day. But unfortunately, not every promise is going to be kept. People can promise something, but they just don't keep it. Perhaps because they found they couldn't keep it, or they just changed their mind. That really isn't a promise at all, is it? Thankfully, there are people who will stick to their word, and many promises are kept. And in the Bible, God gives us many promises. You know, if he makes a promise, he's definitely going to keep it. He's not a liar, is he? He's definitely going to keep his promises. Now, I've got a few of his promises here. In fact, the Bible is so full of promises that it would probably take goodness knows how many meetings and talks to go through them. But I've got a few here which really stuck out to me. He promises strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31, promises that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. He promises rest. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's it there, sorry. He promises us wisdom. James 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Keep forgetting to click this thing. That's it. He promises us that the devil will flee from us. James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He promises that he will fight on our behalf. James 4, verse 7. "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It just goes on and on, all the promises that he gives us. Well, it's moving, is it? He promises that we are not alone, but adopted into his family. Ephesians 1, verse 5 says, "He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Just a bit of this. Is this battery running out? Seems to be moving. Oh, that's it. He promises us forgiveness. 1 John verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." He promises that he will never forsake us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, tells us to be strong and courageous. "Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." He's got a mind of his own, this thing, that's it. He promises us that if we call on him, he will answer. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call on me on the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." He promises that he will meet all our needs. Philippians 4, verse 19, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He promises that if we believe, we will receive. Mark 11, verse 24, whatever we ask in prayer, believe that we have received it and it will be ours. Promises. He's coming again soon. Hallelujah. Revelation 22, verse 12. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. He promises that his love will never fail. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. Greatest promise of all surely has got to be when someone tells you they love you so much, they want to be with you forever. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. While the world may not be trusted to keep every promise, we know that God will keep his promise. It is a real promise. Third painting I've done here is the light of freedom. The UK has now come up this third lockdown. Still got masks on whenever we want to, or when we need to. But it's like the doors have been opened up, shutters flung open. We can see the new horizons, or maybe old horizons, in a different light. The path to freedom beckons us. We can now be free, whatever that freedom is. What is freedom? Well, dictionary definition of freedom is the power of right or right to act, speak, or think as one wants, the state of not being subject to or affected by something undesirable, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. But it depends on what your idea of freedom is. Is it being able to say and do what you want, whenever you want? Is it a life without worries? Is it having a life free from fear and anxiety? Is it no longer being enslaved to addiction? And you may ask, are we ever completely free? Well, a person who's experienced true freedom in Christ is called to live as his servant. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22 says, he who is called in the Lord while a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's servant. In some translations, it says, as a slave of Christ. But how can someone be a servant or a slave and be classed as free? Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Well, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Did I see that up there? It's up the top there. What does it mean, though? What does it mean? Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. What are we actually free from? Romans 8, verse 1. It tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Thanks to Jesus, sin now has no hold on us, and we don't have to pay the consequences of sin, which is death and eternal separation from the Father. That is some promise of freedom, isn't it? 1 John verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We are therefore free from all our past mistakes. Everything We're no longer seen as dirtied by all our sins that we've committed. We're completely clean and purified. John 8, verses 31 to 32. If you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are no longer trapped by the lies of this world, but free by the truth of the gospel. Can Sue and the band just start to come back, please? We're searching for freedom from something, and when you read through the Bible, you find that it has all the answers. Do you want to be free from worry? Look up Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Do you want to be free from anxiety and fear? Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Do you want to be free from addiction? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Do you want to be free from guilt and condemnation? Oh, let's go back a bit. Romans 8, verse 1. Are we free? Of course we're free. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So, Jesus, the light of hope. This is the real hope. It can be found nowhere else but in Jesus. Is the light of promise. And those promises we haven't got in turn point us to freedom. Jesus, the light of freedom. Real freedom that can be found nowhere else but in Jesus. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Thank you.